the very bottom daf chav chesim abeis, bottom. Tanu Rabbanan, the rabbis taught top of chav tes min aleph, right? Mivatlin Talmud Torah lo tzas hameis. So we stop learning Torah, right, in order to join into a funeral procession. Ula hachnasa sakala, and to join into a wedding procession. Amru alav al Rabbi Huda b'Rabbi Loi, shrei mevata talmud Torah lo tzas hameis, hachnasa sakala. Rabbi Loi did the same thing. He would stop learning Torah for hotzas hameis and hachnasa sakala. B'medvar mamurim, in what scenario would you stop learning Torah for hotzas hameis to join a funeral procession? B'she'ein sham kol tzarko, when there aren't enough people there. Aval yei sham kol tzarko, but if there are enough people there, so ein mevatlin, so then you don't stop learning Torah to join the procession. V'kama kol tzarko, how many exactly is enough? So Amar Rav Shmuel bar Ina mishmei derav, treisar alfe gavre, v'shisa alfe shipure, 12,000 people and 6,000 people blowing shofros, meaning being involved in a certain kind of mourning. So 18,000 people. So if the funeral has 18,000 people who are going, so then you don't have to stop learning Torah. But anything less than 18,000, so then you would stop learning Torah to join that that procession. And some said it was really only 12,000 total, and 6,000 of those 12,000 involved in this specific kind of mourning. So it's a machlokas in the Gemara, whether it's 18,000 or whether it's 12,000, which is the cutoff point for which you would stop learning Torah, right? Or continue, I should say, learning Torah and not join the procession. Ula says, no, it's not a specific number. If you have enough people involved in the mourning that if you line them all up, they would reach from the place where you did the hespedim and whatnot, you know, from the beginning of the city to where they did the burial, you know, if you had like that many people, I guess that would also depend on the locale and exactly how far it was that you were traveling. But if you had that many people, right, that kind of proportion, so then you would not need to stop learning, and or you could continue learning and not join in that procession. Of Sheshes Amar Kinesinosa Kachnitilosa, that we compare the giving of the Torah to the passing of a Torah scholar, to the taking of the Torah. Manisinasa b'shishim ribui, just like the Torah was given with shishim ribui, right, with 60,000, so with 600,000. Afna tilasa b'samech ribui. So too, the taking is 600,000, so the number is 600,000. It's not 12,000, it's not 18,000, it's 600,000. Hani mili laman dekari v'tani. That's for somebody who learns Chumash and learned Mishnah. But somebody who learned more than that, so then less leshira, then there's no number. You would always stop learning Torah in order to join that funeral procession. See how beloved the Jewish people are before God. That anywhere the Jewish people go into exile, God goes with them. They went to Egypt, God went with them. We went to Bavel. Shechina imayin. God came with us. Shenemar. And even in future exiles, ultimately when we'll be in exile like we are now, God is with us. That God will return with us. God just won't return us. God will return with us, which implies that God is here in the Golos with us. This is an amazing question. Did you hear what the Gemara just asked? Well, if God went into exile in Bavel with the Jews, where exactly was he? That's an astonishing question. Yeah? Meaning like, where was God? So the Gemara's answer is actually more astonishing than the question. Amar Abaye bebe kinishta de Hutzal ubebe kinishta de Shaf Yosef ben Arda. In the shul in Hutzal and in the shul in Arda. That's where God was. That's astonishing, no? Rashi writes that the shul in Arda, the Shaf Yosef in Arda, was actually a special shul. That Yechonia, when he went in Melech Yehuda, right? There's a Megillah reference right there, right? There, thank you very much. Oh, very good, very good. Right? It's a Megillah reference. When Yechonia went into Golos, Rashi says that he brought with him stones and dirt, ground from Israel. And when they built the shul in Narda, right, they used the stones and dirt from Israel that Yechoniah brought with him to Bavel. It's fascinating. So somebody's talking about building a building. Maybe we should invest in some stone. Maybe some. Yeah. Okay. Good. Right. I can't help myself sometimes. I'm sorry. Right. Velo tema hacha v'hacha el zimnin hacha v'zimnin hacha. And don't think that God was in both. No, he wasn't. He used to switch off. Sometimes he was in the shul in Utsal, and sometimes he was in the shul in Narada. This is astonishing. No, I don't ask me what this means. Okay, good. Amar Abaye, Abaye said, Tesili, Abaye said, I have merit on my side. Dechimarchikna parsa ilano matzlino hasam. Because anytime I got anywhere close to either of these shuls, I would make it my business to go there and daven. Avuad the shmuel v'levi aviyasa v'knishin the shavi yasa ben Narada. So Avuad the shmuel and Levi was one time sitting in the shul in Narada. Asya shchina shamu kol regisha. And the Shechina came to the shul. God came to the shul. And they heard a loud noise in the shul. Come move enough. And they ran away. Rav Sheshes have a Yosef Bevekinish with the Shavu Yosef in Narada. One upon a time, Rav Sheshes was sitting in the same shul in Narada. And Asa Shechina, and God came. The Shechina came. Velo nafik. And Rav Sheshes didn't leave. He said, no, I'm not leaving. So the angels came and they started giving Rav Sheshes a bad time. They were scaring him. You know, if angels came, that sounds like a scary thing, right? So Amar Lefanav, so Rav Sheshes said, Rabbono Shalom, he said, God, Olav, Rav Sheshes was blind. V'she'eno Olav, mi nitchem ipnei mi. He said, God, this is not fair. You know, I'm a blind man. Why are you letting the angels harass me? You know? So Amar Lehu Shavku. So God said to the angels, leave Rav Sheshes alone, right? V'eilahem mikdash ma'at, the pasuk in Yechez says that I will be for them for a it will be for them for a small sanctuary. Amar Rav Yitzchak, Elu Batei Knesset Batei Medrash Shebavavel, that the shuls and the Batei Medrash in Bavel, they serve as our Mikdash Ma'at. You've heard that before? This is the source. Rav Elazar, Amar Zeb Beis Rabbeinu. This is the house of Rabbeinu, right? It's not just the shul and the Beit Medrash, but the house of the rabbi. Shebavavel Rabbeinu Shebavavel, sorry. Dorash Rava Maidich Siv Hashem Ma'on Atah Yisalanu. Right, what does it mean that God, you are a sanctuary for us? Elu Batekinos Batei Medrashos. These are Batei Medrash and Shuls that God comes to serve as our sanctuary there. Amar Abaye Meirei Shavar Garis Na Bevesa. Abaye says, I used to learn in my house. Umatzlina Bevei Knishta. And then I would daven in Shul. Once I heard that God has an affinity for the shul, have you grisna beve kenishta? So I go learn in the shul. So for all you guys who are learning at home, you know, Abaye says you come learn in shul. I know. I have to make you a Beit Midrash. Okay, fine. It's on my agenda. Tanya, Rav Elazar Akfar Omer, Rav Elazar Akfar says, I see them, but the Knesset, but the Medrash of Bavel, Sheik, of Eretz Yisrael, that the shuls and the Batei Medrash of Bavel will be reestablished in the land of Israel. Shenamar, Kikatvor Barim, Carmel Beyam, Yovov Alom Dvarim, Devarim Kavachomer, Umat, Bor Carmel Shalom, Boel, Fishaw, Lil Motora. So Rashi says that these mountains came to the Har Sinai to learn Torah. So they came just for a moment to learn Torah, and then they were established in the land, Nikvam Beretz Yisrael, they were established in the land of Israel. So shuls and Batei Medrash, that were always learning Torah inside of them, certainly they'll be reestablished in the land of Israel. God said to all of the other mountains, why are you guys giving Har Sinai such a hard time? You guys are all Bali Mumin. You're inferior to the Har Sinai. Why? Because Ksiv Hacha Gavnonim Yatsa Gavnonim Uksiv Hasam O Gibain O Dak. Omer Ravashi Shmamina Haiman Diyar Bal Mumhu. Because they were more haughty than Har Sinai. Have you heard this before? Right? That's what Chazal assumed, that all of the mountains said the Torah should come to me. Right? And that's why God said, no, you guys are all haughty. You've got, you know, and that's why we're going to do it on Har Sinai. Good. The Gemara says further. Eino, so some Campandria, the Mishnah said, or I'm sorry, the Gemara said when it was talking about all of these rabbis, you know, when they said that they lived long lives, one of the things that they said was they didn't make the shul a shortcut. Eino, so Campandria, right? So the Gemara says, my Campandria, what's a shortcut? I'm a Roman. Campandria Bishma. It's just like it sounds. My Kishma, what does that mean? It's like it sounds. Command Amar, Campandria, Adoria, Yule, Baha, Allah's Miflay, sorry. Right? So why would I go around? I'll just walk through. Amar, Abahu, but Imhayashvi. If originally there was a walk through there, it used to be a street, and then you built a shul, so you're still allowed to continue to walk through afterwards, right? Even though you built a shul. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, hanichnas amenas shelo lasos kapandria muter. If you don't go in, if you don't go in with the intention of making it a shortcut, you go in for whatever reason you go in for, you are allowed to exit via a different door because it's closer to where you have to go. Meaning, you're not allowed to make the shul a shortcut. That doesn't mean you need to look for the longest way to get out, right? If you go into shul for a different reason, you're not just cutting through shul to get to the other side, but you go in for a different reason, you are allowed to exit in the way which is most convenient for you. Amar Rav Chelbar, Amar Rav Huna, hanichnas leveis haknesses leh. If somebody goes into shul to daven, you're allowed to exit, you know, in the way that's convenient for you, even if it ends up cutting through the shul after you finish davening. In fact, that's what they used to do in the Beit HaMikdash. Used to come in one side, used to leave, you know, on a different side. Remember, we learned in the Mishnah, if the grass starts growing in the shul because the shul is out of use, don't cut the grass because it makes people feel bad and they might rebuild it. But the Braisa said, you're not allowed to cut the grass to feed it to your animals, but you are allowed to just cut the grass and leave it there. So which one is it? So Kitnanami Masnisan Tonle Shumach. No, you're right, Aramish no also. It means you're not allowed to cut that grass and use it for your own personal purposes, but you would be allowed to cut the grass and just leave it there. Tanu Rabban on the rabbis taught Besak Faros, a cemetery, a Nogim and Kalas Rosh. You don't treat a cemetery lightly. You can't be lightheaded in a cemetery. Ain Marin Behen Behema, you can't let your animals graze in the cemetery. Ain Molichin Behen Amasamayim, you can't make a stream go through a cemetery. Ve'in Malachtin Ben Asovin, and you can't collect the grass from a cemetery to use it. Ve'im Likate, if you do collect the grass, Sovin Bekoma, and then you burn it, Mipne Kovon Mesim. So the Gemara says, what kind of kovod to the Mesim is it to burn the grass? Ella Aresha. When it says Mipne Kovon, it's talking about not to be lightheaded in the cemetery. You're not be lightheaded in the cemetery because of Kovod HaMesim. You're not allowed to use the stuff in the cemetery. It's not appropriate also, right? But the Kovod HaMesim is not being lightheaded there. The Mishnah says, Rosh Chodesh Adar Shechal Liyos B'Shabbos. If Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out on Shabbos, Korin B'Parsha Shkolim. Oh, we just read this, didn't we, right? So you read Parsha Shkolim on Rosh Chodesh Adar when it's Shabbos. Chalios B'Socha Shabbos, but if Rosh Chodesh Adar doesn't fall on Shabbos, it falls during the week, like it did this past week. Makdimin l'sha'avar, you read Parsha Shkolim, the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh Adar, umafsikin l'Shabbos acheres, and then the next Shabbos is not going to have any special Parsha. Bashnia, then in the second Shabbos of the month of Adar, because the first Shabbos is a blank Shabbos, we read Parsha Zachar. Bashlish is para aduma, the third is para. Baravias achodesh hazel lachem. Bachamish is chozrin l'chesidron. And then the fifth Shabbos, we go back to the regular laning. And on all of these occasions, Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, Purim, fast days, Yom Kippur, right, on all of, and Mamados, when we used to go to the Beis HaMikdash, on all of these different occasions, right, we read a special Torah reading, right, as opposed to the regular weekly portion. We read a special Torah reading on all of these days. The Mishnah says that on Rosh Chodesh Shadar, they used to make announcements about collecting shkolim and not to plant kilayim. Bishlam ala kilayim dizman zriyahi. I understand they used to make announcements on Rosh Chodesh Adar not to plant kilayim because that's when spring is starting and people are going to start planting soon. Ela ala shkolim minolim. But what is collecting shkolim have anything to do with Rosh Chodesh Adar? So Amar Rav Tevi, Amar Rav Yoshia, Amar Krozos ala shkodesh bechodsho, Amar Torah chodosh vehab. The Havei Korban Mitzruma Chadasha, the Kevan de Benisan Boyakru Mitzruma Chadasha, Kadminon, the Karinon, Behechad Badar, Kehir de Lacey Shkolim La Mikdash, because since they had a communal fund that they used to use to buy the Korbanos Tzibor, and that fund needed to be renewed every year, and the starting date for the new monies was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So since they had to start using new money on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, they started collecting that money 1 month before Rosh Chodesh Adar, they started saying, hey, everybody, let's start collecting shekel so that Rosh Chodesh Nisan, 30 days later, they'd have the money to start using for the new round of korbanos. Kiman, whose opinion is this? The little Kiryas Shimon Gamliel. It's not Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's opinion. It's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel on Rosh Chodesh Shabbosos. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says you don't need 30 days. You only need 2 weeks. How do you know Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says you only need 2 weeks? The Tanya Sholim, Bilchos Pesach, Kodma Pesach, Sholjim Yom. The Tanya Kama says you have to start learning the laws of Pesach 30 days before Pesach, meaning preparation period is 30 days. Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer Shtei Shabbosos. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, no, it's not 30 days. Preparation period is only 2 weeks. Since preparation period is only 2 weeks, it would reason. Reb Shimon Gamliel would say, we would not start collecting shekel on Rosh Chodesh Adar, but we'd start collecting shekel in the middle of the month of Adar. So the Gemara says, no, if you look at Reb Shimon Gamliel, it might even be Reb Shimon Gamliel's opinion. Came to Amar Mar, Bechamisha Asar Bo, Shulchanos, sorry, Yoshim Bamedina, who Bechavhe, Yoshim Bamikdash, Mishum Shulchanos, Kamim Vekarinon. Right? So, Reb Shimon Gamliel says that preparation period is 2 weeks. But what does that mean? So Reb Shimon Gamliel says that means that we start collecting, right, 2 weeks before Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Well, if we're going to start collecting 2 weeks before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, then we have to start telling people that we're going to be collecting 2 weeks before that. And 2 weeks before 2 weeks before Rosh Chodesh Nisan is, in fact, 4 weeks before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which is conveniently for us, Rosh Chodesh Adar. So according to everybody's opinion, right, it is fair to start Rosh Chodesh Adar to talk about shekel. I'm going to go a little bit further. Is that okay, everybody? Very, very good. My Parsha Shkolim. What is Parsha Shkolim? So Rava Martzaves Bnei Yisrael Martol Yemes Korban Ilachmi. It's the Rosh Chodesh Leining. That's Parsha Shkolim. Ushmuel Amar Kisisa. What we read for Parsha Shkolim, right? Parsha's Kisisa. Bishlam Madar Kisisa. Hainu Dekari La Parsha Shkolim Dichsev Bashkolim. I understand Kisisa actually talks about shekel. That's why they call shkolim shkolim. Elamando amar es korbanilach mi hachamidei shkolim ksiv asam. It's got nothing to do with shekel. Rosh Chodesh Leining. So the Gemara says, in time of Mai Kedirav Tevi. Yeah, but what did we just learn? Why do we read Parsha Shkolim? Because they need the money for korbanos. So it doesn't talk about shekel, but what does it talk about? The korbanos that the shekel are supposed to purchase. Bishlam manda amar tzavis b'nei yisrael minichshav to save korbanos. Hasam tirev tevi. Elamanda amar kisisa korbanos miksiva. The Gemara now asks the opposite question, right? I understand it makes sense if we're collecting for korbanos that the reading of Parsha Shkolim would be about korbanos. But kisisa's got nothing to do with korbanos. Shkolim ladonim ksivi. It's talking about collecting money, right, for adonim, for the sockets in the Mishkan. So Gidatani Rav Yosef Shalosh Truma Saint Shom Isbeach Lamisbeach Adonim Ladonim Bedekabayis Bedekabayis. So that really in the beginning of Parshas Kisisa there are actually three different collections. One was for the Mizbeach, one was for the general fund, and one was for the Adonim. But one of those collections was for the Mizbeach, and that's why it makes sense to read it. Bishlam Manda Amar Kisisa Haynu Dishani Hai Rosh Chodesh Mishar Rosh Chodeshim. I understand you read Kisisa. That's what makes Shkolim distinct from other Rosh Chodesh. Remember, the Mishnah said that if Rosh Chodesh Adar falls on Shabbos, then you read Parsha Shkolim. El Lamanda Amar Tzavis Korbani Mai Shani. Right, but if the Parsha Shkolim is the Rosh Chodesh Leining, then what is the Mishnah saying? If Rosh Chodesh Adar falls on Shabbos, you read Parsha Shkolim, you would read it anyway because it's the Rosh Chodesh Leining. Everybody with me? You understand the Gemara's question? So Shani, the reason why it's different, Ilu Rosh Chodeshim Karu Shisa Ben Yonah Deyoma. On a regular Rosh Chodesh, you would read the regular Torah portion for six Aliyos Bechad Be Rosh Chodesh, and the seventh Aliyah would be Rosh Chodesh. Ve'ilu Ha'idna Kulu Be Rosh Chodesh. Ooh, ah. And this opinion is that you would not read the regular Shabbos reading. If Shkolim falls on Shabbos, if Rosh Chodesh falls on Shabbos, you would only read Rosh Chodesh. We would divide it up into seven aliyos. Go figure out the math. Honey, Chalamanda Amar, let's say their Parshios who Chozer. That makes sense if you think that when we read the Dalet Parshios, you don't actually read the regular Torah portion. You only read, right, the Dalet Parshios, and not the Torah portion. Elamanto Amar L'Seder Haftoros Uchozer. But if you believe, like we practice, that you read the regular Torah portion and the only addition, the Dalet Parshios, is in the Haftorah, right, the Matir, the Haftorah, but not in the regular reading, Uparshasa Dioma Karina, and really you read the regular portion, so my Shani. So then what would be the distinction between regular Rosh Chodesh Shabbos and Shkolim Shabbos? So Shani, Dilu Rosh Chodeshim Karu Shishla Ben Yonah Dioma V'chad Kari B'de Rosh Chodesh, V'ilu Ha'idno Karu This opinion would say that normally we would read 6 and 1, but on Shkalim we would read 3 and 4. So we would divide the number of Aliyos differently. In short, that's what the Gemara is saying. Mesvei Rosh Chodesh Adar Shechaliyos B'Shabbos. If Rosh Chodesh Adar falls on Shabbos, Korin B'Parsha Shkalim Maftirim B'Yehoyada HaKohen. So not only do we read Parsha Shkalim, but there's a special Haftorah, Yehoyada. It's a collection for redoing the Beis HaMikdash. It's the Haftorah that we read on Shkalim, by the way. So Bishlam L'manda Amar Kisisa Hainu D'Maftirim B'Yehoyada HaKohen D'Damila. So it makes sense. Yehoyada's collection is similar to the collection in Parshas Kisisa. D'Chsib Kesef Nefshos Harko El L'manda Amar Skarbini Lachmi Ma'adamu. What does Yehoyada have anything to do with the Korbanos? It's not what it's about. So Damik D'Rav Tevi. You know, the reason why it's linked is because, like we said before, because Shkalim is really about the Korbanos that you would bring. Meisvei Chaliyos B'Parshas Smucha La Beimilf Nebeim Balacharei Korin Osavik Hoflin Osa. Sometimes it'll fall out that you'll read the Parsha 2 weeks in a row. Right? You'll read the Parsha 2 weeks in a row. Shkolim could fall and you'll read it 2 weeks in a row. Bishlom Lada Amar Kisisa, right? Hainu Dimisrame Behu Zimna, right? Because sometimes Shkolim falls before or after Kisisa. So that means you'll end up reading Kisisa 2 weeks in a row. Elamanda Amar Tzavis Korbani Mi Misrame Behu Zimna. But those who think that it's Pinchas, right? Rosh Chodesh Leining, it never falls Purim time. So how could that ever happen? That you read 2 weeks in a row. So in Livnei Ma'arovet, the Muskil of the Rice of Itzlas Shnin. No, because there was different places where they didn't read the Torah on a yearly cycle like we read now, but they read it on a 3-year cycle. So since they completed the Torah every 3 years, it could happen that Parshas Pinchas would fall around Purim time because they were on a different Torah reading cycle. Tanya Kavase de Shmuel, we have a teaching according to Shmuel that says, Rosh Chodesh Adar Shechalios B'Shabes, Korin Kisisa, Umaftirin Behoyada Kohen, right, that we read Kisisa, and the Haftorah is Yehoyada Kohen. That is our custom on Parshas Shkolim, we read Kisisa, and Maftir in Yehoyada. All right, we'll stop here tonight, everybody.